I didn't really think it was ever going to happen for us, and to score the winning goal, it's just every shooter's dream, and I'm having the best day of my life right now.
These medals just for today, and we actually want to win the World Cup.
Hi, I'm Juba Mentor, and you're listening to The Netball Show.
Scotland has been doing a really good job on the international stage.
We are thrilled that we've finally been able to announce Dan Ryan as our new senior head coach.
Welsh netball is in a really strong position at the moment. It's a real privilege for captain both the Celtic Dragons and the Welsh national team.
Hi, it's Andy. Welcome to an extra episode of the podcast this week. We occasionally like to bring you them when there's plenty going on. And isn't there plenty going on at the minute? Jess's announcement on Monday caught us a bit of a surprise, but just want to say thanks for the comments and shares and the DMs about that. If you haven't had a chance to listen to it yet, it'll either be above or below this episode, depending on how you listen to the Netball Show podcast. It's well worth 20 minutes of your time, just if you love the game, really, regardless of whether or not you follow the blue and gold as well. So it's great to hear from Jess and somebody that's given 20 years service to the sport that we love. So what do we got in this extra episode then? Anna Carter will bring us the latest from the Leeds Rhinos. Plus we hear from Netball Ireland's under-17 coach Emma Wall. But first, see Zara with a roundup of the latest scores.
Here are the results from round two in the Vitality Netball Super League. Friday saw Sirens against Team Bath, and the away team Bath won by 45-55. On Saturday, Stars travelled to Loughborough to face Lightning. It was Lightning who clinched the win, 52-44 goals. Surrey Storm hosted Mavericks at home, losing by 20 goals to the Hertfordshire-based team. And Celtic Dragons played London Pulse at the Copper Box Arena. Celtic Dragons defeated the new Super League franchise 40-67. Let's get the thoughts of Nia Jones, who spoke to Dragons Instagram.
Yo, Dragons fans. Game number two, we managed to get the win. What a win it was, 67-40 against a very good Pulse side. Wasn't the perfect match, but really pleased with our execution across all four quarters. Patience was bang on. We don't have a match next week because of the quad series. But we'll be working really hard for the next fortnight. Looking forward to Stars away. And then our first home game is the 4th of February at Sport Wales against the Mavericks. So make sure you get your tickets.
Thanks, Zara. First today we can hear from Anna Carter, who is going to bring us right up to date with the latest from Leeds Rhinos netball.
Really busy. I mean, the pathway is quite a big workload in itself, making sure the right people are engaged and building partnerships, and also making sure that the pathway is everything that we said it would be, which we know is going to take time, but so far we've got off to a really good start with educating players on what performance looks like, time management, S&C, and we've also played our first couple of games as well. So yeah, really great start to the season, and hopefully more to come from us.
Those first couple of games haven't gone too bad, have they?
No, the under-19s played against Mavericks. That were a great game. Went goal for goal. The under-17s played against Loughborough Lightning on Saturday and managed to bring on the win there. So, yeah, really good. I mean, I wouldn't say the performance of the girls is where myself or Emily would like it to be, but we're at the really early stages of the season, and I think for us we'll certainly see the fruits of our labour probably more in the July tournament. But to know that we're competing and we're putting out, you know, wins in some cases at this early start where we're not quite that happy is is great.
From what you've seen, obviously things are positive and the talent's definitely there.
Oh yeah, the talent's there. I mean, we have got great girls. Yorkshire Netball did a terrific job, and we're still working quite close with them. So it's nice to just take on the reins of a well-established pathway and just add that other layer of, I suppose, professional support that Leeds Rhinos are able to give in terms of, you know, the S&C, the nutritional support. I suppose all the wraparound, you know, support that every performance player or athlete needs in order to be the best and obtain the potential.
Strong area for talent anyway, because we can look back in history, people like the Shaws, the Harrises, Nat Hawthorne, obviously, and people like that came back to help you out recently.
Yeah, I mean, there's a few more to that list playing Super League. There's Emily Ollingsworth, Amy Allison, who's at Bath, Bree Grierson, you know, et cetera, et cetera. It's nice to watched the Super League teams play this season. Myself and Maggie Birkinshaw stayed after our game against Loughborough on Saturday and watched the Loughborough Lightning against Stars, so without any pressure, and we're able to watch some of the girls that have been through the Yorkshire Pathway play, you know, your Nat Panagaris, etc., and just kind of give ourselves a pat on the back with a lot of other people that, you know, Yorkshire Netball over the years have done a very good job of servicing the Super League Netball teams with talent, so we take quite a lot of pride in that, and also build those relationships with your players like Natalie Thornthwaite. You know, the journey that she's gone on is incredible, but not only is Natalie a fantastic player, I think more importantly she's just a great person to have around. She talks well about the game and the girls absolutely love her, and if ever there's a role model to look up to, a point your daughter in a direction of how you want her to behave and conduct herself through good and bad times, for me it would be the likes of Natalie Thornthwaite.
So you've been busy. Are you sorted out some new venues and launching more hubs and classes?
Yeah, so you know, it's
is it non-stop?
Oh yeah, it is. It's absolutely crazy. I think the biggest boom we've had is through our community program. I think mainly because the success of England netball with the gold medal and just netball being more prolific, people just want to get involved, so we've had a lot of schools wanting to get involved with netball, a lot more kids through our hubs just wanting to take the step up from school netball into something else, and I think as a franchise or a pathway you go into things, and certainly with a beast like Leeds Rhinos, thinking that things will grow like this and you do a nice little plan and nothing's ever what you think it'll be, and in a good way we've just gone absolutely boom through a community program. So through that we've been able to appoint a first netball development officer, which is Rachel Dober, who you might know through the North East, you know, played for Team Northumbria a few years ago. And he's now wanting to work her way up through coaching and give girls and boys in the community a great experience in netball and support England netball with this massive boom that they're going through at the moment.
The Masterclass Series is the first of these things, and that's on February the 22nd with somebody you might know. Tell me a bit about that.
Yeah, I'm looking forward. So Natalie Thornthwaite did the last masterclass. I'm running this one. I absolutely love running the masterclasses because it gives me an opportunity to see some of the young guns coming through and those girls that, you know, live and breathe netball and also just want to learn more technically and tactically about the game. Yeah, really looking forward to the masterclasses.
You've announced early the half-term August boot camp.
Yeah, so the boot camp always does really well every year. I think it's a great opportunity for players to do some pre-season. So last year the Shaw sisters did quite a bit of fitness with the girls that were related to on-court stuff that they do at Team Bath. We also had some other specialist coaches come in, and usually we get a number of the England girls in as well to do some specialist sessions. There's always a couple of surprises over the years we've had. Beth Cobden in, Natalie Thornthwaite, we've had Stacey Francis. So it's quite, you know, a good camp to go on. As much as the girls are working hard and it is regarded as pre-season, they're able to play in the evening, so touch base with the match place, get feedback by experienced coaches like myself, and also meet some Roses players, all things being well.
How can we find out more about that half-term camp?
Yeah, everything's on Facebook, Twitter and a website as well. If people want to drop us an email and just in general find out what we're doing and if they can get more involved, not just in the half-term camps but also just in netball generally, even if it's a teacher or a club coach that just wants a bit of direction and advice. And if any parents out there have got a daughter that's desperate to do more netball, then we're happy to facilitate and support that. And one way we're doing it is through our camps, and already we're hooking up pretty quickly.
And there's more online at leedsrhinosnetball.com. We've got stars next. Ella Powell-Davies is back for the new season, and she's glad to return.
I really enjoyed my season last year, so it was great to get re-signed on. A new group, lots of new people, and everyone's so nice. It's a really good vibe this year.
What's Sam Bird like as a coach, and what does she bring to your game?
I really love Sam Bird as a coach. She's a coach that you can just kind of go for it. So say with it, get going for intercepts, like she's just like, just go for it. It doesn't matter if you miss it. And I really like that because there's no restrictions that everything has to be perfect, because in a game it's never going to be like that. So I like that we can just kind of recreate how a match would normally be. So, yeah.
Stars seem to be flying a bit under the radar this season, like no one's really talking about them. Do you think that's an advantage or a disadvantage to the team?
Definitely an advantage. I think being the underdogs in any situation is the best. We just need to show everyone what we're made of, and we'll definitely be able to do that. We're setting the tone in training, so I just can't wait to show everyone what we're about this year.
Nice work, Becky, over there, by the way. I think we'll have her back over the season. You might have seen the news that Netball Ireland have set up a GoFundMe page following a squad announcement recently for Netball Europe. Well, we've been speaking to Emma Wall on the selection. Emma, you're the Netball Ireland under-17 coach, and you've announced the 12 players travelling to Gibraltar in March. So, first of all, why don't you just run us through the side?
Yeah, so we've got quite an experienced squad this year, which is great at an under-17 level. So in our defensive unit, there's three players, Lana, Karima and Ali, who were with us last year, and Karima was with us the year before. And we've a new addition inside, Stingmore, which is great. So she brings good experience. She's a UK-based player, which is great. Midcourt unit, again, we've got some players who've been with us before. Erin played last year, and then with the addition of Orla, Erin and Kerry. This is the first one out for Kerry now, and she's a young player, so I think it'll be really good for her to come with the squad to see the jump from the level of play at home to what happens when you go to the European events. And I just think that you'll never get that experience until you go and do it and you go and see it and you realise the players you're up against and the level of competitiveness that the game brings at that level. So I think that's really good. And again, in the shooting unit, we've got three players who've been with us before. So Ruby, Sarah and Roisin all were with me last year, so they really know what's involved. And then again, like Kerry, we've got Avril coming through, who's a young player, first time selected. So I think for her, again, it's about seeing what it takes to compete at that level and the pressure that you're under and everything. So then we're kind of building through the years as we go on. You'd be hoping like the likes of Kerry and Avril would be with us again next year and they become the experienced players and that. So the girls are all delighted with the selection news. Sent them all a message yesterday saying the hard work starts now. And this season has been funny for us because of the storm, Emma cancelled our tournament last year. We played in October, so it kind of pushed everything forward a bit. So we just finished that tournament in October. We had to give the girls some time off and then we went back to selections. So this season has been really compacted. So we've gone from selection to trials to the whole... It's all happened very quickly this season, actually. So to come down to the final 12 now is great. And we've got a few more training camps before Gibraltar in March. So really looking forward to getting the best out of them with these next few training camps, which would be great.
And Netball Europe as well, it's always a special tournament, isn't it, no matter what age you're at?
Oh, definitely. And I've come through this system myself, and it's so good. The first thing is I always notice there's a real camaraderie between the nations, which is really good. We're all in one region. We're all egging each other on to do better and to keep pushing and developing. But then that all goes out the window as soon as the first centre pass is called. But then you just leave it all on the court, and then afterwards everyone's chatting and, you know, think, God, that player's really coming on and this is happening. And, you know, it's really good to see. So, yeah, definitely. And I think as Netball Ireland is developing within the region, with our senior squads pushing into world rankings of number 19, and we're, you know, our umpiring pathways are developing, our coaching pathways ways of developing, we're really building bonds more with all the nations within the region. So it does become a bit of a catch up with friends as well as good, strong, healthy competition. And I think for us in the challenge section, the introduction of the Isle of Man and Malta returning last year has just made us made our level of the competition so robust and so competitive. I think it's really working at that under 17 level. And I think it's also really good now that the winner of this event will move up and challenge in the top five. So we played Emirates last year and they came top of our division, and they've moved up this year, and I think that gives our girls something to work towards in our developing nations, which is really good at that level. And the other thing is, I think it really prepares them as they move through the pathways. They've seen these players, they know what competition is like, they know what it's like to be umpired at this level, they know what it's like, the formality of the occasion, the sense of pomp of it all. Like, it's just great for them when you think of at 15, 16 years of age. It's fantastic.
Can you see that talent even at this early age? You must do, surely.
Without doubt. No, it's, for some players, I think it's there and it's in them and you just see it. And for some of our other players, I can see it coming, and you just have to, I think as a coach, you have to promote the long-term development of your players. We've got some fantastic players who they're not quite making the team this year, and I'm looking at them going, as soon as your growing finishes and all your coordination comes back, you're going to be so on form. So for me, it's a real struggle, because you want to keep those players interested in playing. Okay, you didn't get selected this year, but look, in 2 years' time, you'll probably be first choice starting seven. But it's really hard for players to think in that way, because everybody just wants to play and be on the course. Of course they do. But no, definitely, I think you can spot talents, ball skills, ball awareness, all of that. I think when it's there, it's there. And then I think the coach's job is just to bring it out and to get the kids to maximise it. And I think at this level, for me, I just want them to love the game, because if they love the game, they'll keep playing it at any level. And that's all you really want.
Did they give you a bit of a tough selection process then? Was that hard on you?
Yes.
And the rest of the team?
Yes, absolutely, because I was planning to make my selection decision about 4 weeks ago before Christmas, and I just couldn't. And every time we were looking at combinations and going here and there, and I was like, oh no, I still can't. So we had a long squad, and then we reduced it down to a more core squad, but still not the final 12. And then eventually, yeah, no, definitely really tough decisions. And again, because we've got players with experience, sometimes that works in their favour, but then I have to look at the whole arc of the journey, and we're thinking next year, we're thinking who's coming through, do we give them that experience, because then that pays you off in the long term. But ultimately we've got, you know, four tough games to play, and that's my number one focus, to put out the strongest team over those four games and hopefully come away with some really strong results. Last year saw us take our first win in a long time. We beat Gibraltar and Malta last year, and that's just the motivation that it gave the girls and the confidence it gave the girls was unbelievable. But yeah, definitely some tough selection decisions.
Well, I've got a bit more work for you to do when we finish this chat, because Sasha, my co-presenter on the podcast, she used to play nationally for you as well, so I want you to find me out her stats.
Oh dear,
and
okay.
She'll be in the history book somewhere, I'm quite sure. But don't worry, it was quite recent, so
okay,
she told me to say that.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember Sasha. Okay, yeah, you let me know what stats you want, and we'll see if we can dig it all out.
Well, what was she like on court? Did you get a chance to see her much?
Yeah, I would have been involved in organising the international squads. I wasn't coaching at that point, just got a young family. Yeah, feisty, I would have said. Certainly somebody who doesn't give up, which is what you want to see. I think, you know, the fighting Irish is something we're often branded with, and it's not necessarily an aggressive fight, it's just that we won't give up until the last whistle goes. And I certainly think Sasha certainly brought that to the course.
She's going to have me for that now.
And me too, I'm sure.
We know that England won that gold in the Commonwealth, but we're a massive netball family anyway, so what kind of uptake did you notice there?
I think for us what it did was it brought the profile of netball to the general public, whereas before, netball isn't played as robustly in our school structures. It's not part of our national PE curriculum in the Republic of Ireland. So for us, we're always fighting to get the profile up, to make people acknowledge it and to see it. So for us, what it really did was it brought it to the general public's awareness. I think before when we talked about netball, people remembered it from maybe Home and Away and Neighbours, when they saw, you know, some dramatic idea of it on court. And next thing, when the Commonwealth Gold match was on and it was quite widely televised, it was on BBC, which was great. The general public were looking at this, and I've had loads of comments going, oh my God, what a game. I didn't realise it was so fast. I didn't realise it was so physical. I didn't realise. And what's come back is a lot of people realising how great of a game it is. And a lot of parents who would have played it are now getting in touch about getting their kids involved and that kind of thing. So that's been really good for us. We're always looking to maximise the participation of the sport in Ireland, always looking to promote it, to get it in at junior levels, to get it in within schools. We've had a couple of schools take it up, a couple of schools look to bring it in within their PE system this year with the idea of competing next year. So it's just always about growing, isn't it, and just pushing it forward all the time. There's also been a great initiative in Ireland called 20 by 20, which is an initiative to get 20% more girls playing sports by 2020. And they've got a hashtag can't see, can't be. So it's really good. So we've been trying to link into that to say, well, look, if we're not giving our young girls this profile or our senior girls this profile on this stage, how are we going to develop this? How are we going to make this a lifelong sport for everybody? So between England's Commonwealth Gold success and Northern Ireland doing so well, and Scotland and Wales also, everybody doing so well, plus our senior girls moving into the top 20, plus this 2020 campaign, Netball Ireland are really trying to drive and promote netball through all of these channels. Always looking for new players. You know, we just had our head coach, Joan Young, just did a coaching course. Like, what other nation do you get the head coach doing a coaching course with PE teachers and with young progressive coaches and developing coaches? So really just, you know, trying to use every avenue to harness the momentum to get more girls playing. And I think we're seeing the benefits of that in that, you know, we took a win, two wins last season. That was a really long shot for us at an under-17 level the previous years. So it's definitely all going the right direction. We just need to keep pushing forward. And that's what we're trying to do as an association. And that's what I'm trying to do on course with the girls.
Travelling to Gibraltar isn't cheap, and like many other sports, I mean, things are self-funded, so that's why you've set up that GoFundMe page, haven't you?
Yeah, it is. And like I've said, a lot of our girls are quite experienced. This could be their third under-17 tour, which means the financial burden on the parents have been year on year. So as a sport in Ireland, Netball Ireland receives no funding at all. So every single level of the game is completely funded by the players involved, from our open squad all the way down to our under-17s, under-15s, from hall hire, from kit, from travel, physio, everything. So yeah, so when myself and the management team sat down and looked at the overall cost of travelling to Gibraltar, considering flights, accommodation, tournament fees, umpire fees, kit, food, everything, you know, it's not a cheap couple of days. Now it's so worth it, and the girls all think it's so worthwhile, but the financial burden for each parent, it just becomes overwhelming. So we're just reaching out to the netball family to say, you know, if everyone was to chip in, we could really reduce the financial pressure to help these girls go and perform, to take that pressure off some families who might just be struggling that bit more, so that we can really focus on what we need to be doing and have everything there that you need. You know, you have to have a physio on your bench, and that has to be paid for. So of course we have to look to, so the more we fundraise, the more support we get. It just takes all of that burden off the players so they can go and perform and go and focus on what they need to do. So far we're doing pretty good. It's only live a couple of days, and I'm not exactly sure of the total at the minute, but people are generous, and that's great. And I think people can really see the benefit of encouraging teenage girls to play sport. I mean, I think every bit of research shows that this is when girls stop playing sport. So if we can really promote these athletes to continue playing, to love the game, to keep going, it can only serve them well in their lives and only serve our sport well as well. But yeah, it is a real struggle for me as a coach when I'm, you know, selecting a team and asking players to commit they're not only committing their time, parents then also have to commit the finances. The management team are all volunteers, myself and Jen, our manager, and Jan Hines, who your co-host Sasha Shipway will know. Jan is going to be on our coaching bench this year, so she comes with a load of experience as our national squad goal shooter. So we all volunteer our time, but there's a cost for us to go as well. So it's just really difficult. You'd love to be able to do it without that burden and to just take that away and just focus on the game, but we can't. And this runs all the way through our association and all the way through our national teams. It's the same for our senior girls. They're all self-funded. So, you know, you're talking about difficult selection decisions. You have to think who's the best 12, but also who can financially afford it. And I just think that's something that as a coach we should try and take out. It would be great if we could take that out of the game. So that's why we're looking to the GoFundMe page, just to try and take some of the financial burden away for the parents. And then also we've been very lucky this year. The parents have really engaged and they're all looking at other sponsorship methods for us, and, you know, possibility of having someone sponsor our kits, someone to sponsor, you know, bags, you know, all these little things. And it's the generosity of people that makes this team be able to go off and do what they can do, hopefully.
Well, we'll mention a link in a minute, but even if it's the sake of 10 euros here and there, but I won't get into euros because there's probably 350,000 other podcasts that are covering that value at the minute, given the way things are.
Yeah, no. Let's
and that's not
that.
What we do.
Yeah.
That's not what we do.
No. Let's keep it light. Stay with that
all together. So the best place to find the link then, is it just on your Twitter page?
Yeah, so it's on our Facebook page and on our Twitter page. Also then, if you just Google search GoFundMe Netball Ireland under-17s, up they'll pop, you'll see their faces. So any support we can generate would be amazing for me as a coach and for the management team, and then also for the players. I mean, ultimately we're all doing it for them.
And you're on at Netball Ireland on Twitter as well?
Yeah, we are, yeah.
So give you a follow, keep you updated as to what you're up to at the moment, and obviously the tournament out in Gibraltar.
Yeah, so that's our main, well, at under 17 level, that's our main focus. So we're training on Sunday. We have a training camp over midterm where we've got a Yorkshire-based club coming over to give us some tough opposition. So we're ready to go for Gibraltar. And then with exams and everything that happens with the girls at this age, they'll have a bit of a break period before we go into pre-season next year. But our under 19, they're still working hard. They're looking at hoping to get some competitive games in autumn. And then our senior squad will be travelling to the Europeans in May again and hoping to retain the title, the challenge section. So it's all go on the international level for Netball Ireland, as it is every year. It's just, you know, we just keep pushing and pushing, which is great.
Well, look, that is who's on the next episode of the Netball Show. You're welcome to send us a message on Twitter. We're at the Netball Show. Get in touch, as we'd love to cover your news if there's something special going on at your club. Thanks for your support.
I didn't really think it was ever going to happen for us, and to score the winning goal, it's just every shooter's dream, and I'm having the best day of my life right now.
These medals just for today, and we actually want to win the World Cup.
Hi, I'm Diva Mental, and you're listening to The Netball Show.
Scotland has been doing a really good job on the international stage.
We are thrilled that we've finally been able to announce Dan Ryan as our new senior head coach.
Welsh netball is in a really strong position at the moment. It's a real privilege for captain both the Celtic Dragons and the Welsh national team.